Welcome to the jungle. What's going on? My name is Jim Rome. A very, very good Monday to you. Championship Monday night. What's cracking? We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Hope you had a great weekend. We start the week off with an open phone first hour. So if there's anything you want to hit on, now is the time to do so. At the top of hour number two, I've got back-to-back interviews. So don't wait until then. Hit me right now, 1-800-636-8686, 1-800-636-8686. If you want to hit me up on social media, I would encourage that. Follow me on Twitter or follow me on Instagram. Everybody does it like this. I'm at Jim Rome, R-O-M-E. And believe it or not, we still bang through your emails. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. So the first hour is open. I've got John Rothstein at the top of hour number two. At 10:20 Pacific time, Denver Nuggets president of basketball ops, Tim Connolly. I'm chasing a third hour. If you're wondering where we are on TV, we will be there in hour number three. The simulcast version of the program starts in the third hour. In the meantime, lots of audio. I've got an ATP coming up a little bit later on, too. Quickly, again, 1-800-636-8686. Let's not waste any more time. Final Four, pretty awesome. Well, on one end, not as awesome on the other end. And now we're a few hours away from the national championship game that everybody wanted. The one that everybody had been pointing to and hoping for all season long, Baylor-Gonzaga. The rare championship game where you get the best two teams in America. We have that. Now, remember, this game was actually scheduled back in December, and then they canceled it. But it turns out, actually, it was not canceled. It was merely postponed for 4 months. And now, here we are. Here the bleep we are. We
here
have
we
it.
Are. Here the we are.
And what we have is this. An undefeated Gonzaga looking to make history against a Baylor team that is looking to make history of its own. No, let me correct that. A Baylor team that looks like an absolute machine that is looking to make history of its own. Because Houston Baylor was the opener on Saturday night, and the Bears put on a hell of a show, didn't they? That was a complete and total hospital job. As great as UCLA Gonzaga was, the opener of that Final Four was just the opposite. Baylor took on a really good, really tough Houston team that plays great defense, and they went through them like they were nothing at all. And the crazy part about that is that game actually started out really, really well for Houston. They had a block on Baylor's first possession, and they forced a shot clock violation too.
I thought Giroux might be on Mitchell, but it's interesting, as you say, on Butler instead.
Nice curl.
Inbounds and blocked. Back to Butler it goes.
And check clock.
Violation. The block never touched the rim.
Now, wow. Grant Hill, have you ever done that?
No.
That is incredible. I've seen it in football, but never in basketball. Look at this.
Whoa.
So that's some Cougar basketball right there. So they get off to a great start on that end. Then they go down to the other end, and they do this.
Now it's Giroux's turn. Two looks, tapped around again. Houston on the offensive glass, so tough.
And that's third game, two possessions.
Sasser tries, and he hits.
Boy, is that reminiscent.
I mean, bottom line, that is their game. That's exactly the way they do it. If there's such a thing as the ultimate Houston possession, that was it. Miss a shot, get the rebound. Miss another shot, get another rebound, and then knock down a three. Like, statistically and stylistically, that might not be pretty, but it does win games. Lots of games. It doesn't matter how poorly you shoot it if you just keep getting rebounds and you keep getting more shots. Eventually, you will start scoring. And when you see a possession like that, you think, all right, that's pretty much what we expected. This is what Houston does. This is going to be a fist fight. But then it wasn't. Like, you never want your first possession to be your best possession, but that's pretty much what it was for Houston because they ran into a buzzsaw, and that first possession was the high point of their night because the Bears were looking every bit like the well-oiled machine that they were before their pause. They were doing things like this.
Committed to the program after his sophomore year in high school.
A little pin down and an open look. Oh. Say goodnight. Woo!
so hard to defend the way they're coming off of screens, firing these guards for Baylor. We told you, they're elite. They're getting it done early for the Bears.
They are elite, all three of them. They were doing lots of things like that, and then lots of things like this.
Mitchell, look at this pass.
Another
one, yes.
But it's the roll.
Yep.
Bomber rolls to the basket. The weak side has to help. And Butler wide open, hot from downtown, Jim.
So a crazy cross-court pass, and then another Jared Butler three, that time from the corner. Like, that was as comprehensive a beatdown as there has been in the Final Four in a long, long time. Honestly, I thought that was pretty scary. Teams are not supposed to be that dominant in a Final Four game. No one is supposed to go into a Final Four game and have a 25-point lead at halftime. And speaking of that lead, I mean, it's one thing to have a 25-point lead. It's another to get that 25-point lead like this.
With five, Mitchell wants another three, and he finds it.
And you want him to play football, Grant.
What a dominant first half performance. The Bears on both ends.
Ooh, the Bears are loose.
You want to talk about salt in the wound. That first half had already been brutal for Houston, and then Baylor hits that three before the half. What a total kick in the package. Like, not a huge scoreboard difference between going into the halftime down 22 and down 25, but that still left a huge mark on the Cougs. Essentially, everything that could go wrong for them did, and everything that could go right for Baylor did. And nobody would have blamed Houston if they just stayed in the locker room after halftime was over. It would have been fine if they picked up their marker and said, nah, we're good. We're good here. Thank you very much. But they didn't, of course. They came back out there and to the culture there, but just not enough. Baylor is just that good. Baylor was that good on both ends. Baylor was just better. So my question is, if you've been sleeping on these guys, what's wrong with you? This is a team that was undefeated until February, and they had a three-week shutdown. They didn't look quite themselves coming out of it, and they lost to Kansas, and then in the Big 12 tourney to Oklahoma State, and then suddenly folks were saying, you know what? They're beatable. They're vulnerable. They're not the same. Wrong answer. They were not vulnerable. They were not shaky. They were just getting their rhythm back. And on Saturday night, I would say they found it on both ends. From the outside, it looked like they never lost their mojo defensively, but the offense was a little shaky at points after the shutdown. But Saturday night, Baylor looked like Baylor once again. The offense was lethal, and they were doing it against a very good defensive team, too. Like, they made a really good defensive team look really bad Saturday night. That's how good Baylor was. And now, what do they get for that? Gonzaga in a few hours. So to me, the question is this. Was Saturday night the high water mark for Baylor, or is this, in effect, who Baylor is? Did they finally get back to being Baylor once again? Or are they that good? Then again, Gonzaga did not go undefeated by accident. They didn't just stumble into this, and they're going up against a Baylor team that does not have the interior presence that UCLA did. So, how does Baylor counteract Drew Timmy and the stash? As long as we're talking questions, how about Gonzaga? How do they respond to a 45-minute war against UCLA that was a grind at both ends of the floor? How do you bounce back psychologically and physically and emotionally from what had to be one of the most draining nights ever? Like, I know Baylor and Gonzaga both played on Saturday, and that the Zags do this type of thing in conference, and that the Bears probably had, what, maybe 3 hours more rest than Gonzaga? But it seems like they'll have a whole hell of a lot more than that. Let me throw some numbers at you quickly. Corey Kispert, 44. Jalen Suggs, 40. Those are the number of minutes that they played on Saturday night. In fact, four of the Zags starters went 40 or more minutes against UCLA. The only starter who didn't was the stash, and he played 38. He was playing with four fouls down the stretch. So Gonzaga is a tough, tough team, but they're going to need to dig really deep to come back and play at an elite level for 40 minutes again. And it's going to take that elite level to beat them. Then again, if you're looking to make history and become the first undefeated team in nearly five decades, it shouldn't be easy. And if they do it, it would not have been handed to them. They would have earned every bit of it, especially since, while I'm looking at things right now, it seems like everybody is jumping on Baylor's bandwagon. Bottom line is this. Does Baylor's best beat Gonzaga's best? Or maybe the question should be, does Gonzaga's best beat Baylor's best? I'm going to be honest with you now. I've been going back and forth on this one since Saturday night. The line is Gonzaga minus 4.5. So if you like Baylor, you've got to love that and the points. But maybe you think Gonzaga's better, but just not 4.5 better. And then maybe you smash the money line. Or maybe it's so close, you don't smash anything. Maybe it's so close and so good, you don't even need any action. And you're hyped for the game by itself. Maybe it's so close and so good, you don't even need to get down. Yeah, that's funny. I think that pretty much went out the window the second that the walls against legalized gambling started to come down. Just know this. To me, this game is so close, I have not hit it yet. And it's 9-11 PST. This game is so close, I have not hit it yet. And neither has the big head, James Kelly. I mean, we will. But we haven't. How about you? Who you got? And UCLA fan, I do want to go back and talk about the heart, the grit, the fact that you did not deserve to lose that game, man. I'm actually sick for UCLA that they lost that game. I want to go back and cover that as well. How about the Final Four? Who do you like? Who have you got tonight? 1-800-636-8686. Once again, we are not on CBS Sports Network for hours 1 and 2, but we will be here for hour 3. Come on, man. I'm tan smack. You think I'm not going to show you my face? At least not 1 hour a day. Tan smack, the pimp in the box. So I do want to go back to Saturday night. I just gave you a preview of Monday night. I have not yet picked that. That's how close that is. So how was your weekend? Not as interesting as Paul Pierce's. How about, dude? How about, dude, going Instagram live? One of the most insane things ever. I don't know whether or not he meant to do that. I can't imagine he did, but it did go live. And it didn't just go to his friends. It went to everybody. And pretty much everybody saw it. And if they didn't see it live, they've seen it since. I've got a breakdown of that coming up a little bit later on. Some other college basketball news. If the University of Texas made the best hire of the entire soon-to-be college basketball offseason in getting Chris Beard, how about what their rival across the Red River in Oklahoma did? You want to talk about landing a great counterpunch. They get Porter Moser. What an unbelievable hire that is. I will have that for you. Don't look now, but it is Masters Week. Don't look now, but look who won going into Masters Week. Jordan Spieth, first time in a long time. First time in a very long time. Also, Major League Baseball. Did you check out Shohei Ohtani's act this weekend? This dude is absolutely incredible. How terrified do you think the Angels were when this guy got clipped at home plate, too? See him rolling around in the dirt after what he had done prior to that? Amazing. And I have that for you also. In other words, I've got a hell of a lot of show for you. Dear Jim, how was your weekend? Mine was low-key. I just hung out with a few friends. Signed, Paul Pierce, like I said. Like I said, how was your weekend? I bet it was not as eventful as Paul Pierce's. I'll have that for you later on. Jimmy, it all comes down to this. Bears versus the Bulldogs. This was such an easy matchup to predict. Regards, guy who picks his bracket based on his favorite animals. Chris in Milwaukee. You know, you say that, but I was talking to our stylist, Cindy, before the show. And I talked to her last week, and she told me that she was in a pool. And she was going up against all the dudes. And I said, I bet you do really well. No offense. And because she started off the conversation by saying, I don't really know that much about college basketball. I said, good. When it comes to the pool, or when it comes to the brackets, the less you know, the better. And who do you think won hers? She did. Took down all the dudes. And I don't know if she was betting animals, or if she did a little prep, or if she was listening to the program, but she won. Dear Van Smack, what a great late game between Gonzaga and UCLA. Probably the greatest college basketball game I've ever watched. If it wasn't for the game, we would have been forced to talk about that mullet-rocking, phony rock star, Miley Cyrus. Her performance between the games, if you want to call it a performance, was horrendous. Almost every song was a cover. Her voice is horrible, and she looked like a bleach blonde and a pastier version of a tan smack. She made Ashley Simpson at the Orange Bowl look good. Give me back my basketball and get the hell off my TV, you washed up wannabe pop star. Signed, Mario and SF. Wore tan smack without the blisters and redness of a sunburn. Yeah, I don't know about that, but that does take me back to Ashley Simpson. You made me want, oh, 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 oh. You made me want, la, 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 la. You made me want to scream. You make my ears bleed, Ash. Remember when she dropped the mic too? I'll never forget that performance. She dropped that mic like she just owned it, like she dominated it. I mean, how horrible does that sound?
Without the Knicks and
this is what happens when you take them out of the studio and let them perform live. Dear Gonzaga, we are all pulling for you tonight. For the love of all good things, please win the damn game. Sincerely, the entire city of El Paso, Texas. Stephen S.A., formerly a VP. Listen, regardless of who wins, it's an incredible story. Regardless of who wins, it's an amazing win for a program. You look at what Scott Drew did at Baylor. You look at what Mark Few's done at Gonzaga. Two of the most unlikely stories ever. All right, so what are your thoughts? Hit me. I've got backpack interviews at the top of hour number two. Had a good weekend myself. A lot of basketball. Got my grub on. Got vaccinated. Got the first shot. That was interesting. Let me share that experience with you. 1-800-636-8686. Let's get a break in here. Quick question for you. Why is Old Trapper Beef Jerky so amazing? I mean, where do I start? How about with the fact that it's a family business that stands by quality and produces the world's best beef jerky ever? Listen, do not be fooled by other brands or this terrible take that beef jerky is beef jerky. That's all one and the same. It's not. Make sure you choose Old Trapper, where you can actually see the quality right through their iconic Clearview packages. Because every single bite of Old Trapper is tender, it's never tough, and it's because they use only the best ingredients. From their lean strips of beef, seasoned with top quality spices, to their real wood-fired smoke. Old Trapper delivers quality in every single bite, and as you know, it comes in four amazing flavors. Old Fashioned, Teriyaki, Peppered, and Hot and Spicy. All are great. And all are chock full of good protein. And they provide real and true sustained energy. Old Trapper is just a better way to snack. So make it a part of your weekly grocery list and keep a good supply on hand for you and your family. If you do not see it, ask for Old Trapper by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what is your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. My thoughts on Paul Pierce's weekend, probably next segment. No bit of room to lay that out. I've got back-to-back interviews starting at hour number two. This says, Jaime, got the first Moderna shot on Friday. I thought my arm was going to fall for 2 days. I'm still not right yet. Stephen S.A. All right, so he got the first Moderna shot on Friday and thought his arm was going to fall off for 2 days, and he's still not right. You know, you hear different things. I had heard that it's nothing at all. I had heard it's not that good. And I had had my shingle shot, remember? And that was kind of, you know, that hurt a little bit. I'm not going to lie. My arm, I had like dead arm for about 4 or 5 hours. But that was fine. No side effects. So I go to get my shot on Saturday between games. And it's actually, I go to a university where I live, UC Irvine, and it's great. I mean, the thing is set up beautifully, and they're moving people right through. They're super organized. It's great. It's fine. And I go through the multi-stations, and I sit down, and this woman gives me the shot. And I said, all right, like, is that it? She's like, you're good. See ya. And it literally was the easiest shot I've ever had in my life. Like, I didn't even feel it. It was a pinprick. And I almost wanted to say, now, you know what? Do it again. Do it again. I do not want to go through all of this and not get the full effect of the vaccination. There is no way you just vaccinated me. That was the easiest shot ever, ever. I literally didn't even feel it. You know, normally when the needle goes in, you push it in, and then you push through, and then you can feel the vaccine working its way into you. I mean, like any flu shot, like any shingles shot. This was nothing like that. It was barely a pinprick. And now I'm pissed. So then they move you over to the 15-minute waiting area in the event that you suffer some sort of side effect. I'm like, there ain't going to be any side effect here. I didn't get the shot. I'm going to sneak back in line. They won't know. So I'm not going to lie to you. It kind of messed with my head. I mean, I really was concerned that that rookie did not know what she was doing. And so I woke up the next morning, felt a little soreness. And then I saw Logan Rome. We're related. He's my son. I pimped him about something. And he throws a right hand into my shoulder, which I don't know if the kid's ever done that before. I don't even know where that came from. I said something that he thought was funny but not funny. And he hauled off and turned a right hand over. And I kind of, you know, I didn't take a knee, but I backed up. He's like, yo, what's with you, old man? I'm like, well, you did deliver that punch perfectly right on the vaccine. So what I'm here to say, Steve, is the vaccine took, I think. I think they got something into my arm, but I didn't know it at the time. Look at homeboy. Look at rich guy in San Antonio saying, I thought my arm was going to fall off for 2 days and I'm still not right yet. I think the second dose is worse than the first, right, Steve-O? Sorry, good news is you got a month to get over that one. Wells in the 360 is in. The winner of the championship game is going to be all of us because finally this stupid tournament will be over. Signed, Drew in West LA, probably. Finally. Unwar March Madness haters. Yeah, Drew, didn't that UCLA game suck? Wasn't that the worst thing ever? Wasn't that so brutal? Couldn't pay you enough money to watch that one, huh, Drew? Jims, we all know Gonzaga is going to win this thing. Their team is more, quote, well-rounded. Yours, Phil Collins' head. The thing is, Gene in North Philly, you're not wrong. They are more well-rounded. And Collins does have a well-rounded head. I'm just not sure what Collins' head has to do with anything at all. But I'm going to allow that because you're in North Philly. If that came from Drew in West LA, for instance, I would not allow that. But because you're Gene in North Philly, I will. Hi, Jim. UCLA did really good. They almost had it. Signed my smack-off call. Signed Sarah T. Unwore hollow chocolate bunnies. They had the chocolate right in there. Where'd it go?
War Lady Clone.
First of all, Sarah, UCLA did not do really good. They did really well. In terms of the chocolate was in there, where'd it go? I bet I know what happened to it. I bet somebody got one of those coffee straws, those little red ones, and just hoovered it right out and then left the bunny in there. I only say that because when I worked at Fox way back in the day on The Last Word, somebody used to do that to the jelly donuts. There'd be a box of donuts in the break room, and there was some guy, like, he became like a serial killer. He'd go in there, maybe it was a gal, I don't even know. Whoever it was, they would go in there and literally either toot or inhale or hoover or suck the jelly right out of the jelly donut. How do I know? How do I know? Because they left the straw. The evidence was there. There was a smoking gun. The straw. Take the donut, man. Just finish the donut. It's like those people who cut the donut in half. Yeah, I'm just not going to eat the whole thing. Even that's not as bad as taking the jelly out of the donut, but leaving the hollow vessel in the box. True story. One thing more whack than that was something else I did over the weekend. Picked up on another one of your favorites. Lyle and Eric Menendez. And the fact that TikTok is all over them with a new set of eyes. Did you check that out over the weekend? However, the best part about that, aside from getting caught up with Lyle and Eric, was they went file video of my high school, Calabasas. Homeboys were Calabasas High attendees, not graduates, but attendees. So I was pretty proud of that. Rome's. You went to a college for your shot. We went to the bathroom stalls. Signed late 80s and early 90s Oakland Coliseum baseball players. Well, Gene in North Philly's on one. He got two in the first half hour of the program. Gino, what up, man?
It's two for me.
Keep hacking, Gene. Speaking of which, yeah, I'm not going to say that. I caught that one right before it came out of my pie hole, which is good. When we come back, well, you know who had themselves a weekend. The truth. Paul Pierce. Yeah, I don't know, Paul. I'm not sure you can wheel away from this in a wheelchair. You might not be able to wheel your way out of this one. Man, this dude was on one. And everybody saw it. That's coming up next. I've already hit you up with your telephone number. You want to use it. I mean, I know it's easy to sit back and just listen to me wax poetically about all these great things. If you want in, though, you should do it right now because, again, we have two interviews at the top of the next hour. What I have for you right now is a sports update. Here it is. Here is Andrew Bogut.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
I mentioned I saw a lot of people jumping on Baylor this morning. Not so much, though, that the line has changed. It's still Gonzaga -4.5. How you playing that one? Do you like the Zags, and then do you like them 4.5 points better? Does Baylor's best beat Gonzaga's best? Or again, does Gonzaga's best beat Baylor's best? Because Baylor is that good. Monday is an ATP day. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You want to go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Ask me a question. I might answer yours a little bit later on. And remember to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. So again, if you heard the top of the program, you know it's somewhat of a tradition for me to roll in here on a Monday and ask you, how y'all living? What's going on? How was your weekend? No disrespect, but when I say, how was your weekend? I don't really care how your weekend was. Well, not today, anyway. I mean, generally I do, but not today. Or how you're living, not today. Because, and the reason why I'm saying it just today, is because today, Paul Pierce... Yes, the Paul Pierce. That Paul Pierce had himself the kind of weekend that makes your weekend and my weekend completely insignificant. In fact, his weekend blew all of our weekends right out the water. No matter what we did or how unbelievable we think it was, I'm just not totally sure that any of us were supposed to know about how awesome Paul Pierce's weekend was. I mean, his weekend was better. I'm just not sure we were supposed to know that. Unless maybe he knew he was having himself a weekend and wanted to make damn sure everybody did. I'm not sure. I'm not sure that he meant to broadcast part of his weekend, because that's exactly what he did on Instagram Live. And it is truly one of the most insane things I've seen in quite some time, especially from a big time name and especially from a dude pulling a paycheck from the mouse. He is employed by Mickey Mouse. Now, first things first, I'm not hating, I'm not judging, and I'm not telling Pierce or anybody else how to live their life. I am merely a mesmerized spectator, like everybody else. And believe me, everybody who saw this had to reassemble their jaws collectively that had shattered into about a million pieces when they hit the floor. Half the NBA is still laughing so hard, they're wiping tears away from their eyes. So, let me set the scene. Paul Pierce, former 19-year vet, current ESPN NBA analyst, went live on Instagram. Meaning, He turned his blower on and on his current situation and started to broadcast it to everybody. He started broadcasting his current situation to the entire world. And that current situation was Friday night. And Pierce was having himself one hell of a Friday night. My man's at a house party. All right, so just envision this right now. We're not on TV. There's no video. It's not hard to find. But if you haven't seen it yet, just envision this. He's at a house party. He's sitting at a poker table. He's got a shot of tequila in one hand. He's got a phone in the other. He's got a blunt in his mouth. Right? This is not easy to do. A shot of tequila in one hand, a phone in the other, a blunt in his mouth, and strippers. Party gals for days in the background. And from the looks of things, my man looks like he is on one. And I mean on one. Sweaty forehead, swollen, half-closed eyes. And dude is straight up hosting a live broadcast, talking to viewers. These are the kind of picks that you hope that nobody sees. And yet Paul Pierce is all up in here broadcasting it all live. And I mean all of it. Shooting his shot as well to at least one viewer while he's doing all this. Check out my man. He sees some gal named Monica show up in the comments, the live comments. Here's Pierce, who's at the poker table, in the middle of a hand with another party gal right behind him, inviting Monica to come partake.
Monica, you should be here. You could make some money, girl. Stop playing. Monica, what you doing? If you in L.A., come through. If you in L.A., Monica, come through. You know what I'm saying?
Where's she at?
All right, so a truly incredible piece of sound. Paul Pierce soliciting, inviting some random gal named Monica to come on through and make some money. Like, who is this cat? Ja Rule from Fast One?
Monica!
Listen, like I said, I'm not here to hate. I'm not here to judge. I'm just a mesmerized spectator. I'm just an interested viewer. Whether you care that Pierce is married and employed by ESPN is up to you. I'm not here to judge. I'm just here to report. This is not just a sports story, given who he is. It was a sports story that trended all of Friday night. I mean, I can't even play most of the audio from that night, but I can play this. This is from Pierce, still at the same poker table, with what can only be described as an alleged and very possibly hired talent hanging out behind him. He decides he wants to introduce this gal to the entire world. I'm going to play the exchange and then give it the treatment that it so richly deserves after you hear it.
Let him hear your accent.
I hate the accent.
Say hi, accent.
Hi, guys.
She's from Istanbul.
Turkey.
From Turkey. Yeah. We've been to Turkey before.
Did you like it?
Wow. I mean, if you missed any of that, don't worry. I got you. Why don't we start from the top? He starts by saying to her, quote, "Let him hear your accent." Her response is, "I have no accent." Pierce doesn't care and tells her, "Say hi, accent."
Let him hear your accent.
I hate the accent.
Say hi, accent.
Hi, guys.
My man just said, "Say hi, accent."
Say hi, accent.
Huh? Say hi, accent?
Say hi, accent.
My man thinks that this woman is a parrot or something. A parrot with an accent. And he just does not want her to say hi with an accent. He wants her to say hi, accent.
Say hi, accent.
Or maybe that's just what he's chosen to calling her. Maybe that's her pet nickname, accent.
Say hi, accent.
I don't know. Anyway, moving on. He decides to give some background on this woman. He tells the viewers that she's from, quote, Istanbul's. Not Istanbul. Istanbul's. Plural. Like he goes next level. And pluralizes the country of Turkey, and then he calls it Turkeys. Twice.
He from Istanbul. From Turkeys. We've been to Turkeys before.
Did you like it?
Like, she clarifies and corrects. She's from Istanbul, Turkey. Turkeys. Quote, we've been to Turkeys before.
From Turkeys. We've been to Turkeys before.
And then she says, you like it? This guy is so faded that he inverted multiple countries of Turkey.
From Turkeys. We've been to Turkeys before.
Yo, big dog, it's Turkey. Not Turkeys. There's only one.
From Turkeys. We've been to Turkeys before.
Sounds like you have a lot of time to go back to Turkeys. The rest of Pierce's IG Live was screenshot nearly frame by frame by the gawking internet. It was that compelling and that over the top and that memeable. Again, dude could barely keep his eyes open. He was ripping drinks, ripping blunts, and ripping check raises. He was also ripping shoulder massages from nearly naked women and filming them selfie style while they twerked at his feet. And again, he said this.
Let me hear your accent.
I hit my head.
Say hi, accent.
Hi, guys.
She from Istanbul. From Turkeys. We've been to Turkeys before.
Did you like it?
So NBA Twitter is the best Twitter because NBA fans are better at Twitter than everybody else. And because NBA stars love to partake. And the NBA players had a field day with Pierce's Friday night. Bradley Beal wrote, quote, Paul Pierce is wilding. Ja Morant wrote, dog, I'm weak. Dame Lillard wrote, we've been to Turkeys before. LMAO.
From Turkeys. We've been to Turkeys before.
And dozens more with just a bunch of crying emojis because Paul was on one and let the entire world watch when he probably shouldn't have. Now, there's a theory out there that he meant to go live, but only to, quote, his close friends. It's a setting. It's a feature on IG where you can share your content only to people you want. But since Paul Pierce does not know how to use social media, he just broadcast it to everybody. Or maybe for whatever reason, he wanted everybody to see it. The theory makes sense that he got the setting wrong because my man sat up in here, got faded, hung with strippers, probably strippers, invited more to come through to make money, showed a bunch of nearly nude women twerking at his feet, and most of all, referred to Turkey as Turkeys.
From Turkeys. We've been to Turkeys before.
But remember, this is the same guy who once tweeted a picture of an emoji instead of using an emoji because he didn't know what he was doing. So I really don't know exactly what this guy was thinking or what he meant to do on Friday night, whether or not he meant to go live on Friday night, especially given his marital and employment status, unless maybe he doesn't want to be married or employed or married to that person or employed by the company that employs him. I don't even know. I'm not judging. I'm just saying. But here is the best part. And maybe even better than all that. Fast forward to the next night, Saturday, 7:55 Pacific time, PM. Paul Pierce, who had been social media silent since his IG Live, tweeted the following at 7:55 PM. And I quote, good morning. Good morning. Good morning is the new what's poppin' Twitter. Good morning. Good morning, bro. It's 7:55 p.m. Good morning. Are you still on 1P? What an epic tweet. Coming back to social media 18 hours after his IG Live performance and tweeting good morning at dinner time is incredible. What a weekend on the internet for the truth, who is ironically going to need a pretty good lie to cover for Friday night because I don't think I was hacked is going to work. And I also don't think there's a wheelchair in the world that can wheel you out of this one, dude. Again, I don't really care. Not only do I not care, that was some of the greatest entertainment ever. I'm not here to judge. I'm not here to tell you how to live your life, either your social media life or otherwise. But I think there are at least two interested parties right now who might have taken exception. Maybe not. Maybe one, maybe neither. Maybe neither care. On second thought, you better get my man that wheelchair ASAP. Because unlike the first time he used it, this time he really needs it. This time he's really banged up.
Say hi, accent.
Hi, guys.
He's from Istanbul.
I don't know, dude. That is some of your better commentary, if you ask me. You know, my other question is, when that was going down, and the entire world is watching that, how is there not somebody who matters to him or close to him not getting to him and saying, dude, no. I mean, maybe they're trying to text him, and obviously he's too faded to respond. But if I'm like a close friend or family member or agent or manager or anybody who is responsible for helping him watch out for his affairs, business affairs, otherwise, man, I'm knocking that door down. Dude, it's going out live to the world. Yeah, I know. We're just talking some turkeys. Come on in, man. Relax. This morning he tweeted, earthquake? Question mark. Hey, bro, there's no way to run a misdirection on this. Quote, anyone else feel that earthquake? Question mark. Yeah, dude, I don't know. You're in SoCal. You know this. You came up through here. There's earthquakes like every hour on the hour here. But nothing compared to that 15.0 Richter blast you had Friday night. When we return, we talk more about Championship Monday. John Rothstein joins me. That's coming up next. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Hour number two, straight ahead.